dying blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and I'm reading to you today from my brand new book, How You Can Pray in the End of Days. I'll tell you at the end how you can order the book. We're now on Chapter 3, A Prophetic Meeting, and I am at a meeting in Tulsa hearing Kenneth E. Hagin's During the Charismatic Move, and I met Brother Hagin for the first time in 1967 April, and I'm hearing him teach on the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and I have just received. On Saturday, I call Mother with the good news. It didn't take long to realize that it wasn't good news to her. She had probably read the same headline I had quoted to Pat Martin, that speaking with tongues was of the devil. It had come out in a state paper of a certain denomination. It was charismatic days, and they were losing a lot of people, so the headline said, speaking with tongues is of the devil. It was Daddy who was from the Pentecostal side of the family. Mother's background was denominational. I quickly began to appease her. Oh, Mother, it's in the Word. I'll show you when I see you. I'm going to go along with these Pentecostals where I see they are right. But I promise you I won't go along with any of their error. I won't wash off all my makeup or let my hair grow long and wear it in a bun. And Mother, I promise you, I won't listen to any women preachers. You can imagine my surprise. When we arrived on the second Monday night and Kenneth E. Hagin introduced the speaker, Clara Grace, a woman, a 75-year-old woman preacher, and not only that, I learned later she was a prophetess. But to my amazement, the atmosphere was charged, filled with God. The anointing, now I know to call it that, was strong. You could feel it. Every word she or Brother Hagin uttered penetrated my being with Holy Spirit power. I remember thinking, that's the best sermon I ever heard, and she's out of order. Remember, my denomination said women couldn't preach. And I had a call to preach on my life that I didn't know how to answer. So you can imagine my astonishment at seeing Sister Clara Grace. I went on with my reasoning. Well, maybe at the judgment seat of Christ, she will be on a level with all the men preachers who were not so good. You see, somewhere in the back of my mind, I'd always felt that if I did preach and answer the call that I'd had on me since I was 3 years old, I'd always had the thought that I would get in trouble at the judgment seat of Christ. Yet, to tell you the real truth, that night I did not have a clue as to what Clara Grace was saying. It was the prophetic anointing that so impacted me. It was 11 years later when I was the editor of publications at Kenneth Hagin Ministries that the Lord directed me to go back into the archives and find out what she said. I'm sure he impressed me to do this only after I had grown enough to receive it, so I did. I got the cassette tape. By then, progress had been made, and our tape department had transferred the reel tapes to cassettes. As I listened with rapt attention, it was as if I heard the meeting for the first time. Clara Grace opened with a prayer that I can now see was answered. Here are parts of it. So come, O Father, Jesus, manifest thyself tonight, and meet the need of hungry hearts who are here, who have come from these distant places. Let thy will be done in every life. The entire message was prophetic, but this part stood out. God is preparing a special core of people, a special breed of men and women. He is preparing a special people to do a special thing in the body of Christ. That's why you're here from Minneapolis. That's why you're here from California. That's why you're here from Dallas. That's why. And then as it was as if she heard the Lord say something, and she said, what is it? And then she said, it's a gathering of the chiefs of God's army. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Of the chiefs of the clan. Hallelujah. That was in her word, prophetic word. I sometimes jokingly say that if you had been there and heard the word that those people were some of the chiefs of the clan, you would have been excused for doubting it. for it didn't look like a meeting of chiefs. We were mostly denominational people writing in our Bibles for the first time, and that was only because Brother Hagin told us we could do it. Even then, at first, I underlined the scriptures almost with fear and trembling. But I look back now, knowing how God has used some of those people who were in that seminar, Phil and Fern Halverson, Vicki Jameson, Reverend Harley Fiddler, Jeannie Wilkerson, Lowell and Bobby Furry, Buddy and Pat Harrison, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and others. The Copelands came there in their worn-out car. Kim was a freshman at ORU. It was about that time that he asked Buddy Harrison if he could leave the car at the ministry in exchange for Kenneth Hagin's tapes. Buddy told him to take the tapes, but please don't leave the car. Now, I was there, but not from far away distance-wise, only 20 miles north. Yet it took the Lord's strong dealings to get me there spiritually. Gloria Copeland and I have talked so many times about how grateful we are that the Lord got us there. Almost every Believer's Voice of Victory television broadcast, we somehow get around to reminiscing and thanking the Lord for being in those life-changing meetings. I remember a word of prophecy through Kenneth E. Hagin to Kenneth Copeland several years later. The Lord said that he had maneuvered Ken as one maneuvers a ship into a harbor. Thank God I was among those maneuvered to be in that meeting that spring of 1967. Clara Grace was released to share a vision with our little group that night. It had come several years before when she attended a meeting hosted by John Osteen. Kenneth E. Hagin was a speaker. The following is taken from the account of the vision she gave us. Kenneth Hagin was speaking the last Friday morning. When he was near the close, suddenly he veered off and began talking about science in relationship to the advance of the church, and to the fact that God would not allow one phase of his program to outstrip the other. And he said, you know, science entered the realm of spirit when they discovered the place of timelessness. And when Brother Hagin said this, all I know to say is I left there. I was in the spirit. I was not conscious of anybody. I never knew one thing going on around me, for I was in the spirit. But I do know this. He opened the heavens to me. He rolled them back like great curtains, like great scrolls, and it was only a thin veil. There was only a thin veil between me and the glory. I could see the glory, but it was behind the veil. Without going into the very long vision, suffice it to say, she saw a vision comparable to Tommy Hicks' vision. In both, the glory of God moved upon a struggling body of Christ, strengthening and preparing it to walk in the very last days before his coming as the glorious church. And without our knowledge then, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but I want to tell you now about the vision. I didn't put this all in my book, but I do want to tell you about the vision that Clara Grace had. And she said, because you are some of the chiefs of the clan, I am released to tell you this vision. And she described that she saw the church lying down, weak, like a huge person. I know Tommy Hicks saw it like a giant, but it was lying down very weak. And she saw a veil that separated us from where we were, her from where she was, and beyond that veil was the glory. Beyond that veil was the glory world. And she saw indentations up to the right and at the top. She saw indentations of faces pressing their way through, the Holy Spirit said, to resurrection. She saw on the earth a group of mature saints of God. To her left, she saw men and women who were mature in the Lord. And she said, I know that the doctrine of the manifested sons of God had been bandied about. But she said, when you hear something, oftentimes it's a truth God's trying to get through to us, but error comes because the devil wants to steal it. So she said, I saw these people, and they were, on my left, they were mature sons of God and daughters of God. And they were going behind the veil, and they were taking of the glory, and they were bringing it out, and they weren't dying to go there. I thought this was interesting. Sister Clara Grace said, I didn't know any of them. I think now, to me, that says she wasn't going to be here when this happened. Of course, she's gone on years before. She died in 1977. And so she saw the group here on earth, the manifested sons of God, The mature saints go behind the veil and get the glory. She saw them come from the other side, the saints from the other side, and they brought with them the glory. And she said those two groups amalgamated and became one. She didn't know if they could see each other, but they formed like a cloud, almost like a glory cloud, over this church that was lying down weak. And as they ministered to the church, and as the glory ministered to the church and moved up and down that church body, it lifted up the hands that hung down. It strengthened the feeble knees. And she saw that church stand up on her feet and become the glorious church that Ephesians 5:27 talks about, that he will present to himself a glorious church without a spot or a wrinkle. You might want to go online and get Tommy Hicks' vision. We have it up on our webpage, billybrim.org. I know other people do too, just Tommy Hicks, H-I-C-K-S, his vision. And he saw the same thing. His was, I think, in more detail about this church, and it was like a giant, and it was little demons were all over it. And it would try to raise up through the years and fling off the demons, and then go back down. But then Tommy Hicks saw the glory move on that church, and that church stand up, and that church become literally the hands and the feet of Jesus and have a great healing ministry, and then go up with him in the air in the rapture of the church. You'll want to look that up online, Tommy Hicks' vision. Now, I've been reading to you from my book. I've added a little things extra here and there, but I'm reading to you from my new book, How You Can Pray in the End of Days. We will be glad to send you a copy. Now, it won't be out until, I think, maybe the 11th of May or so, something like that. But you can go ahead and order your copy. And just 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. You may talk to Julie. Could be someone else. But give her your name and address and your method of payment, and the new book, which is a 224-page book, we will send to you for $10, and that includes shipping. So I know it'll be a blessing to you. When I finished it, I thought, oh my goodness, I need to write another one right now. But you can enjoy the many things that this book has for you about the end of days and about how you can pray for Israel. How you can pray the mysteries of God. That's in the second part of the book. The first part of the book is my call to help the prayers. And I have a very supernatural call upon my life to help the prayers. The next chapter tomorrow is entitled Blood Moons. Without our knowing it at the time, and I only became aware of it just a short time ago, a rare event occurred in the heavens in the early morning hours of April 24th, 1967, in the very day that Sister Clara Grace said, God's raising up an end time army, and these are some of the chiefs of the Klan. In that very day, a blood moon, tetrad, had begun in the sky, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. So if you want to go online, billybrim.org, and you can catch up with our radio archives. That's billybrim.org. You can write us at Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. And so I'll be back with you tomorrow for the next chapter.